Hello, hello, hello. Here's Marlanka again with another episode from Eckhart Tolle. The problems of the mind cannot be solved on the level of the mind. Studying the complexities of the mind may make you a good psychologist, but doing so won't take you beyond the mind, just as the study of madness is not enough to create sanity. You've already understood the basic mechanics of the unconscious state, that is, identification with the mind, which creates a false self, the ego, as a substitute for your true self rooted in being. You become as a branch cut off from the vine, as Jesus put it. The ego's needs are endless. It feels vulnerable and threatened, and so it lives in a state of fear and want. But once you know how the basic dysfunction operates, there is no need to explore all its countless manifestations, no need to make it into a complex personal problem, which the ego, of course, would love, for it is always seeking for something to attach itself to in order to uphold and strengthen its illusory sense of self. And it will readily attach itself to your problems. This is why, for so many people, a large part of their sense of self is intimately connected with their problems. And once this has happened, the last thing they want is to become free of those problems, for that would mean loss of self. There can be a great deal of unconscious ego investment in pain and suffering. So, once you recognize the root of unconsciousness as identification with the mind, which of course includes your emotions, you step out of it. You become present. When you are present, you can allow the mind to be as it is without getting entangled in it. The mind itself is not dysfunctional. The mind is a wonderful tool. Dysfunction sets in when you seek yourself in it and mistake it for who you are. For then it becomes the egoic mind and takes over your whole life. Although it may seem impossible to disidentify from the mind as we are all immersed in it, what can we do? Well, here is the key. End the delusion of time, because time and mind are inseparable. Remove time from the mind, and it stops unless you choose to use it. To be identified with your mind is to be trapped in time. The compulsion to live almost exclusively through memory and anticipation, the past and the future. This creates an endless preoccupation with past and future and an unwillingness to honor and acknowledge the present moment and allow it to be. The compulsion arises because the past gives you an identity, and the future holds the promise of salvation, a fulfillment in whatever form. Both are illusions. So without a sense of time, how would we function in this world? Would there be goals to strive toward anymore? Would I even know who I am because my past makes me who I am today? I think time is something very precious, and we need to learn to use it wisely rather than waste it. Well, time isn't precious at all, because time is an illusion. What you perceive as precious is not time, but the one point that is out of time, the now. That is precious indeed. The more you're focused on time past and future, the more you're missing the now, the present, the most precious thing there is. Why is it the most precious thing? Why? Because it's the only thing. It's all there is. The eternal present is the space within which your whole life unfolds, the one factor that remains constant. Life is now. There was never a time when your life was not now, nor will there ever be. Secondly, now is the only point that can take you beyond the limited confines of the mind. It's your only point of access into the timeless and formless realm of being. If you are trying to understand this mentally, you cannot grasp the essence of what I am saying. Mind cannot understand this, only you can. Have you ever experienced, done, thought, or felt anything outside now? Do you think you ever will? Is it possible for anything to happen or be outside the now? The answer is obvious, isn't it? Nothing ever happened in the past, it happened in the now. And nothing will ever happen in the future, it will happen in the now. What you think of as the past is a memory trace stored in the mind of a former now. So when you remember the past, you reactivate a memory trace and you do so now. The future is an imagined now, a projection of the mind. And when the future comes, it comes as the now. And when you think about the future, you do so now. Past and future obviously have no reality of their own. Just as the moon has no light of its own, but can only reflect the light of the sun, so are past and future only pale reflections of the light, power, and reality of the eternal present. Their reality is borrowed from the now. Now, the essence of what I am saying here cannot be understood by the mind. For the moment you grasp it, there's a shift in consciousness from mind to being, from time to presence. Suddenly, everything feels alive, radiates energy, emanates being. In life-threatening emergency situations, the shift in consciousness from time to presence sometimes happens naturally. The personality that has a past and a future momentarily recedes and is replaced by an intense conscious presence, very still, very alert at the same time. Whatever response is needed then arises out of that state of consciousness. Now, the reason why some people love to engage in dangerous activities such as mountain climbing, car racing, so on, although they may not be aware of it, is that it forces them into the now, that intensely alive state that is free of time, free of problems, free of thinking, free of the burden of the personality. Slipping away from the present moment, even for a second, may mean death. Unfortunately, they come to depend on a particular activity to be in that state. But you don't need to climb the north face of the mountain. You can enter that state of being now. Since ancient times, spiritual masters of all traditions have pointed to the now as the key to the spiritual dimension. Despite this, it seems to have remained a secret. It's certainly not taught in these words in churches and temples. If you go go to a church, you may hear readings from the gospel such as, "Take no thought for the morrow shall take care of itself." Or, "Nobody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Or you might hear the passage about the beautiful flowers that are not anxious about tomorrow, but live with ease in the timeless now and are provided for abundantly by God. The depth and radical nature of these teachings are not recognized. No one seems to realize that they are meant to be lived and so bring about a profound inner transformation. The whole essence of Zen consists in walking along the razor's edge of now, to be so utterly, so completely present that no problem, no suffering, nothing that is not who you are in your essence can survive in you. In the now, in the absence of time, all your problems dissolve. Suffering needs time. Suffering cannot survive in the now. The great Zen master Rinzai, in order to take his students' attention away from time, would often raise his finger and ask slowly, "What, at this moment, is lacking?" A powerful question that does not require an answer on the level of the mind. The question is designed to take your attention deeply into the now. A similar question in the Zen tradition is this: if not now, when? And the now is also central to the teaching of Sufism, the mystical branch of Islam. Sufis have a saying, "The Sufi is the son of time present." And Rumi, the great poet and teacher of Sufism, declares, "Past and future veil God from our sight. Burn up both of them with fire." Meister Eckhart, the 13th century spiritual teacher, summed it all up beautifully. "Time is what keeps the light from reaching us. There is no greater obstacle to God than time." When you move into the now, you're free of time for a moment, and therefore you can perceive nature around you without the screen of mind. And the awareness of being becomes part of your perception. With the timeless dimension comes a different kind of knowing, one that does not kill the spirit that lives within every creature and everything. A knowing that does not destroy the sacredness and mystery of life, but contains a deep love and reverence for all that is. That sort of knowing is which the mind knows nothing. For the mind cannot see or know the tree in nature. It can only know facts or information about the tree. My mind cannot know you, only labels, judgments, facts, and opinions about you. But being alone knows directly. Now there is a place for mind and mind knowledge. It's in the practical realm of day-to-day living. However, if it takes over all aspects of your life, including your relationships with other human beings and with nature, it becomes a monstrous parasite that, unchecked, will end up killing all life on the planet, and finally itself by killing its host. So now you've had a glimpse of how the timeless can transform your perceptions. But an experience is not enough, no matter how beautiful or profound. What we are concerned with, what is needed, is a permanent shift into consciousness. So break the old pattern of present moment denial and present moment resistance. Make it your practice to withdraw attention from the past and from the future whenever they are not needed. Step out of the time dimension as much as possible in everyday life. And if you find it hard to enter the now directly, start by observing the habitual tendency of your mind to want to escape from the now. You will observe that the future is usually imagined as either better or worse than the present. If the imagined future is better, it gives you hope. If it is worse, it creates anxiety. Both are illusory. Through self-observation, more presence comes into your life automatically. The moment you realize you're not present, you are present. Whenever you're able to observe your mind, why, you are no longer trapped in it. Another factor has come in, something that is not of the mind, the witnessing presence. Be present as the watcher of your mind, of your thoughts and emotions, as well as your reactions in various situations. Be at least as interested in your reactions as in the situation or person that causes you to react. And notice also how often your attention is in the past or future. Don't judge or analyze what you observe. Watch the thought. Feel the emotion. Observe the reaction. And don't make a personal problem out of them. You will then feel something more powerful than any of those things that you observe. The still, observing presence itself. Behind the content of your mind, the silent watcher. We will pause at this point for today. And I promise we'll continue in the next episode listening to Eckhart Tolle, The Power of the Presence of Now. Thanks for listening.
This is Oroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.